I love talking National Football League storylines with Frank Schwab, Yahoo.com. National Football League insider for Yahoo.com. He's standing by here on the Huge Radio Network. Welcome back, Frank.
Hey, what's going on?
Trying to figure out how ugly Stafford versus Goff will be on Sunday in L.A. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it could get bad. I don't think Sean McVay has some like personal vendetta against Jared Goff. He just wanted to upgrade a quarterback, and that's reasonable. But if there's any part of McVay that for some reason doesn't like Jared Goff, or some part of Matthew Stafford that really doesn't like the Detroit Lions, and they just decide, hey, we're just going to pour it on in this game, I think they could. And that's not the best thought in the world for Lions or Lions fans. I mean, it's hard to imagine the Lions winning this game. Let's put it that way. And it's hard to imagine the Lions even really keeping it close. The Rams are just better. They're just a better football team right now. And no matter how hard the Lions are played most weeks, I think that's going to end up manifesting itself on Sunday.
16-point spread kind of sums up that there may be a little chance in a place that's well below us of the Lions winning that game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get ugly. Let's put it that way. Of there's four pretty much huge favorites this week, if you count the Packers, and the Rams are the only favorite I really like because of just what I said. Like, they're, you know, Arizona really has no reason to get up for this game against the Houston Texans, but the Rams might have a few reasons to get up for a game against the Detroit Lions, as weird as that sounds, and you just hope. I've never heard Sean McVay say anything really truly bad about Jared Goff other than we just wanted a better quarterback. And that doesn't mean he dislikes the guy personally or anything. And, you know, I've heard people wonder about, like, oh, what's the reaction going to be like to Goff in L.A.? Like, why would any L.A. fans ever boo him? What did he ever do? He brought him to the Super Bowl and got traded. Like, I would be shocked if anybody booed Jared Goff. This isn't one of those bad feeling type of reunions, but who knows? You just never know what's in a guy's mind.
NFL windows aren't open for too long because of salary cap limitations and guys getting older. And I think the move, I'm guessing, and how Stafford wanted out and how it came about, whether it was in Cabo, Detroit, L.A., someplace in between, that, you know, before Aaron Donald doesn't become the most dominant or keeps his title as most dominant defensive lineman, or Woods and Cooper Kupp don't get older, you have a window. Here in here, McVay, and you want to win. And that's why they went out and got Stafford and gave up a lot.
Yeah, and the Rams have just shown time and again that they don't value draft picks. They don't. It sounds weird, but they don't. It's happened time and again. Like, I believe they sent a third or fourth round pick for Sonny Michel, who doesn't even play. Like, I mean, they basically, when Dearness Johnson is coming in off, basically nobody's ever heard of the guy, and he's rushing for 130 yards, the Rams decided, yeah, we're going to send a mid-round pick for Sonny Michel so he can get six snaps a game. They don't value draft picks. So when you add that into the equation, then it kind of becomes easy for the Rams. Like, oh, we can upgrade a quarterback. We don't care about draft picks. Well, here you go. We'll take Matthew Stafford because he's better. And I agree with you on McVay. You never know when, you never know when these windows close. And I think Rams are contenders. They're a very, very good football team. And maybe that continues for a long time because McVay's good. And you know, maybe they'll replenish and find the next Aaron Donald or whatever. But, yeah, you want to take advantage of it? Well, it's here right in front of your face because you just never know how this league's going to go.
I love the Cowboys start, but I do wonder, do they have enough sustainable defense to win the NFC? You look at the Packers, who are playing incredible football with some luck after getting blown out by the Saints. Kyler Murray in Arizona, they've added a lot of off-season weapons and in-season weapons with Ertz. There's Stafford right behind them. Wilson now in the Seahawks, and Niners are hanging around. I'm looking at the NFC, and I'm trying to figure this out. Who looks like the most complete team right now? Who would that be in the NFC?
And yeah, I think it's the NFC has five teams that can legitimately say, you know, we think we're the best team in football. And that's, you didn't even mention the Buccaneers. I think they're one of the five.
Hold on. Yeah, you're right. Let me not mention Brady.
The defending champs.
My bad.
Everybody back and are steamrolling everybody. Like, I mean, you look, I think the Cowboys, I agree with you that their defense is still a bit of a question mark, but they're playing well. They're playing well enough. When that offense is as good as it is, you don't need to play great defense. You just need to be the 2009 Saints, where your defense makes a big play. play or two. Yeah, that's all that matters. You get that, and you're probably going to win most of your games. I think the Cowboys are right there. The Packers, they have a right to say, you know, whatever happened, week one happened, but since then, we've been great the last 5 weeks. I think they can say they're the best team in football. I think the Rams can say they're the best team in football. Buccaneers are obviously up there. But I think right now, look, we can go... just because something has happened for 6 weeks doesn't mean it's going to happen the rest of the season. But as we sit here right now, if we're just looking at what has happened the first 6 weeks of the season, you cannot realistically make an argument for anybody else being the top team of football but the Arizona Cardinals. That's just the truth. Look, they went on the road week one. They blasted the Tennessee Titans, who, by the way, just beat the Buffalo Bills. They blasted the Los Angeles Rams in L.A. I mean, that was as quality of a win as you can get in the NFL. And then last week, I know the Browns are banged up, but for them to go in and thoroughly dominate the Browns, who I still think are going to be a good team at the end of the day. I think that you look at the Arizona Cardinals' defense has played well. Their offense is obviously very, very good with Kyler. And if we're just, again, if we're just removing what we saw last season or what we thought in the offseason or our preconceived notions of these teams and just going on, what have the results told us? The Arizona Cardinals are the best team in football. And it's weird to say it. It's weird to kind of wrap your head around it. But I think that right now, if you have to say they're number one in my power rankings. I assume they're number one in everybody's power rankings because they deserve that spot. They've been the most complete best team in football.
Yeah, I think the better question when I was leading into you would have been, who's there to truly knock Tampa out of the NFC playoffs? And you're going with Arizona Cardinals. I don't know about the Rams and Stafford because he's never won a playoff game. Right. And it will be interesting. And the Cowboys are playing well. I mean, Micah Parsons, you talk about a guy that's changed the defense along with Diggs. Amazing. You know, when I watch that HBO Real Sports, they did not have the feel of a team that could win the NFC. They really didn't through the TV.
And I was skeptical of their defense, too. But you watch them, and you're like, well, I mean, their offense is just so good that they can go weeks without even bothering with CeeDee Lamb, where it's like he's kind of an afterthought because, okay, we got two running backs who can each run for 100 yards on you. We don't need CeeDee Lamb. We don't need Amari Cooper. He's there when we need him. But we don't need them every week to win games. It's crazy how deep this team is. And you mentioned Micah Parsons. I think one of the most underrated things that has happened in this NFL season is the Cowboys basically being down a couple pass rushers and saying, hey, Micah, you're usually an inside linebacker, stand-up inside linebacker. We want you to just try out pass rushing. Can you do that? And he looked like he's a guy who's done that for 10 years. And he looked like Joey Bosa. You know, I mean, it's just like, whoa, this is freaky. That is not something that anybody gets acclimated to do that quickly. He's a difference maker. Trevon Diggs is a huge playmaker for them. And again, this defense, they don't need to be the 2000 Ravens. They need to make 2-3 plays a game that turn the tide because you know their offense can score at will, basically, as long as they're healthy. And even if they're not all that healthy, they haven't had Michael Gallup since week one, and he's probably a top 40 receiver in this league. So, yeah, I think just the Cowboys offense, it just kind of it's so good that nobody's going to want to see them. And the Buccaneers, I mean, the Buccaneers could beat them for sure, but, I mean, if you're saying, like, which team can kind of go in and outscore the Buccaneers, yeah, the Cowboys surely can. We saw, you know, week one, if the missed field goal, if Ryan Succop misses a field goal in the last second, the Cowboys win there in Tampa Bay. So we've already seen the Cowboys go toe-to-toe with them.
On the flip side, over in the AFC, most complete team, I want to go with Buffalo, but then I watch Tennessee with that goal line stop, and quietly the Titans are 4-2, not sold on their defense. Their offense looks fantastic. You have the Chargers at 4-2. Raiders look like a bad 4-2 team. Maybe, you know, the Gruden thing, which I'll get your comments on his latest comment. But is it Buffalo? Is it Tennessee? Is it the Chargers? Who's the most complete team? Is it Baltimore, who's sitting there at 5-1? Who is it in the AFC?
I think it's Buffalo. I do. I thought they were going to let down last week. I mean, you come off your game of the year against the Kansas City Chiefs. You go in and pound them. And, you know, it's just hard to get back up again. I mean, that was a game they had scheduled or they had circled for 8 months. I mean, that's a game they wanted, and they won it. And then, you know, they didn't play their best game on Monday night. There's no doubt about that. But they still could have won had Josh Allen got, you know, 18 more inches on a quarterback sneak. I still think the Bills are the best team, but I think the Ravens are very interesting because, you know, they were winning close games early. Lucky game. They were really, really lucky to beat the Lions. Incredibly lucky. It was a miracle when they beat the Lions of all teams. But they're a well-coached team that's kind of trying. I think they've figured out what they are, what they have to do. And Lamar Jackson's their trump card. He's playing so well right now. I mean, just really, really, really good football for Lamar Jackson. He's the guy who's kind of transforming his game from just, he's, you know, 70% runner and 30% passer to 50-50 or even better on the passing side. The passing display he put on against the Colts was something else. I mean, he's such a dominant player that he can lift that team to a couple more wins than it should. So if you're making the argument that it's the Ravens, I'm fine with that, but I'll still pick the Bills. I don't care that they lost Monday night. What I've seen out of them, I can still see them winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Bills-Cardinals Super Bowl would be pretty cool, even though I'd love to see Brady get back there and have a shot at another ring. Before we're done here on the Huge Show across Michigan, and Frank Schwab, Yahoo.com national NFL insider, joining us on this Football Friday. The comment off the HBO sports producer, Maggie Burbank, talking to John Gruden, and he said, quote, people who know me know what I stand for 58 years. I have a resume of 58 years. He said, quote, the truth will come out. So I wonder if Gruden's going to fight for his reputation, even though the emails are all reason to step aside. Your thoughts on will this end? There, you know, politicians are calling on the NFL for, you know, the true investigation and what's in those 650,000 emails. Did they open up a can of worms by pushing Gruden out?
Yeah, and I mean, boy, there's so many layers to this.
I know.
I think one layer is, okay, let's, I don't know exactly what Gruden means, but if he means something to the effect of, well, you know, everybody else is this bad too, and you're going to see in the emails. Well, okay, that doesn't really exonerate you, John. Or does he mean like there's something in these emails that makes him look like a better guy than he looked like with the contents of those emails that got him, you know, forced him to resign? I don't know that that's true either. I don't know exactly what he means. I think it's kind of an empty statement, to be honest, because I don't know how those emails could make John Gruden look any better or worse than he is. Like, it's just kind of, I'd have to see it to figure it out, because I really don't get what he's trying to say. And, you know, I don't know, with the Congress getting involved and all that, like, I am in the boat of, doesn't Congress have better things to do? Like, what, you're finding out that NFL people are racist and homophobic? So I don't know that I necessarily need my politicians getting involved in this. Do I think, and we also, you know, everybody has said, and I think there's something to it to say, boy, the NFL opened up a can of worms with the Gruden thing, but are we positive the NFL is the one leaking these? Because, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about the lawsuits Daniel Snyder has filed that have some of these emails in them, and maybe that's the smoking gun. So I don't know. There's just so many weird layers to this story. It's hard to really get my head around all of it. But yeah, I know why the NFL doesn't want those emails to come out, because there's no possible way it's going to look good for them.
Yeah, the one thing if he was on the phone with that HBO producer Maggie Burbank, and I haven't heard this in the written statement when he resigned, that just, man, you know, I was joking around, I didn't mean it, I shouldn't have said that, da da da, a little contrition. Instead, what I take from this latest comment isn't Gruden's going to be exonerated, but when he says, quote, the truth will come out, I think there's a lot of other people either in those emails in NFL positions of power that will be outed, if we can use that word. And then the NFL, conveniently, right after Gruden resigns, oh, we looked at everything. There's no one else connected to 650,000 emails. We're all good.
Which is the most unbelievable thing there possibly is. Like, nobody believes that. Literally nobody believes that there's nothing else in those emails.
No, it's just done. We're done. We went through all.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, Goodell, I spent the weekend. I watched the Thursday night game. I went through all 650,000 emails. I had to clean out my inbox. It was huge. And we're done. There's nothing.
Right, and I think that wasn't there another thing that Bruce Allen, or somebody said that every email in that investigation came from Bruce Allen? It's like, Bruce Allen might not have been a great NFL executive, but I don't think he's sending like 2,000 emails every single day. I think that probably there's other people involved in this investigation too. So, yeah, the NFL, it's ridiculous sometimes what the NFL wants us to believe, but they just want this all to go away, and I get it. I do. Like, yeah, they might look ridiculous saying, no, there's nothing at all in those 650,000 emails, we checked, don't worry about it. But what are we supposed to say? Like, they want it to go away. They don't want the emails getting out. They're not going to release them voluntarily. So what are they going to say? Yeah, there was bad stuff in there. We're not going to let you see it. Like, no, they just have to kind of take this unbelievable stance and just hope the story goes away.
Yeah, one of the shows had a lawyer saying that the privacy element here, did that email state this email can't be used for any public use? Can it? You know, and I get you get a subpoena for a court case, but why wasn't his name and everything redacted? I mean, there's a lot of layers, like you said, to this, and I'll be curious, at 58, will John Gruden just take whatever he negotiated in a settlement with the Raiders and walk away, or will he fight for his reputation? That would be interesting. I love the conversations when it comes to the NFL with Frank Schwab, Yahoo.com, National NFL Insider. Good stuff today, Frank. Look forward to our next conversation.
Yep, absolutely. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.